Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily.
Yeah, it is. Come on out, baby. We're having us a little party over at East River 9. And party a little different over here on the east side now. Y'all come on through. Fans are kicking. Weather is absolutely tremendous. Whether you want to hang at the bar here in the restaurant, which that's two in the same, by the way. TVs everywhere. The little breezeway outside's got a nice breeze. It is doing exactly what it is supposed to do. It is breezing through the way out there. And we got a nice little crew coming in. I got some of my folks for Mama's birthday coming over, I believe, Ron.
I think
Lo and some of the girls are coming over, and I'm sure they're going to bring a couple of
Sean Bajani roll in here.
Bajani rolled in with his little son. And if you want to bring your kids, bring them on up, man. The food's great. Drinks are great. The atmosphere is kid-friendly, and the weather is absolutely tremendous. Come on through. Hang out. We're going to give away a couple of we got one more Academy Sports and Outdoors gift card.
And then two
rounds for two, right? So two individual, a round of golf right here at East River 9 for two people. We're going to give away two of those, which that's a nice little value. So if you're here and you like to golf, maybe you're golfing today, maybe you're not, get off your ass, put your name in that raffle box right there, because we're going to give away a free round here for two coming up pretty quick. As well as the Academy Sports and Outdoors Ultimate Football Tailgate Package over here. Scan the QR code when you walk in the door. Register for that. That is, you are registering for two of our sweet tickets to the Baltimore Ravens Texans Christmas Day game, as well as a $1,000 Academy Sports and Outdoors gift card. Again, Academy Sports and Outdoors Ultimate Football Tailgate Package. Get up here. Scan the QR code. Get registered. Who doesn't want $1,000 to Academy Sports and Outdoors? Go a long way at Academy Sports and Outdoors, Ron.
Lord knows I know.
You just got through telling me a little story about that.
Yeah, telling you.
All right, I don't want to hold the people off on this, Ron, because I'm dead ass serious right here. I'm a little bit concerned about C.J. Stroud. And this ain't got nothing to do with an interception last week. It has nothing to do with losing the last three of the last four. It has nothing to do with a box score. It has nothing to do with, boy, he's not playing as good this year as he was last year, and last year was all this. It has nothing to do with living up to expectations or not. I knew there were some things that, you know, the Texans need to do better. But I don't know a football team with the exception of maybe the Chiefs, and hell, I mean, really, that may be it over the last handful of years, that hadn't gone through patches of football where they thought, damn, we're rough right now. We got to get better. We got to get this right. We got to straighten this out, right? I thought the Texans were just in a spot where it just hadn't been pretty of late. They don't have all their guys healthy. Offensively, they got to figure some things out in terms of kind of where they want to land. Do they want to be this super aggressive team or not? I did not realize, Ron, that we could potentially be at a spot where C.J. Stroud is, like, legitimately shook. And here's what I mean by this. Recently, it surfaced over the last week or so that the Texans have had a couple of players-only meetings, right? And We've laughed about it. You know, we've laughed and joked about it, and rightfully so.
I just don't know why they've had multiple.
Right, right. But here's the deal. Like, that is not the sign of a confident 6-2 or 6-3 football team. That is a sign of something's wrong. I don't know to what degree, but something isn't sitting right with the players. It's not the we can fix everything approach that the organization is communicating to us, Ron. That in itself means, man, somebody needs to get their ass on board. Somebody needs to quit pointing fingers like CJ and everybody was talking about a couple weeks ago, right? Like, that in itself is something you go, that's odd. Baltimore's lost a couple games this year, hadn't they? They've lost a couple games this year. I don't think when they were sitting at 5-2 or 6-2, they were having team meetings, only meetings.
After Jameis got them, I don't think
Cleveland got them. I don't think they ran like that in itself is a little bit one of those make you double take, right? And then yesterday, CJ Stroud met with the media, and apparently at some point in time, CJ Stroud felt the need. He mentioned it himself to have a little what seemed to be kind of a pep talk type of conversation with veteran tight end Dalton Schultz. Here's C.J. Stroud talking about his conversation with Dalton Schultz.
Nah, I wouldn't say it was reassurance. I mean, for me, I always know who I am. You know, like, if I throw 100 picks in the game, like, I'm going to keep swinging and keep shooting. Like, that expectation that I have and people have on me is just like that LeBron commercial. Like, if you didn't have it, then that's a problem. So I love the expectations that I have. And, you know, from this point, I feel like I've been answering those things with, you know, the cards I've been dealt. And, you know, I don't complain. I show up to work every day and I have fun. You know, this is something that the Lord has blessed me with, and I delight in it. And, you know, I think that conversation was just brothers, you know, just like it says in Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so does another man sharpen another. So we were just sharpening one another, you know. So I helped him, he helped me. And, you know, that's what D'Amico Preach is what our culture is just, you know, leaning on one another and, you know, being together through the thick and thin of things.
Leaning on, checking on, scripture, it just like meeting with Dalton Schultz. That was, by the way, that was the second question, the second time that it was brought up. The first time, you know, he mentioned, that's why they had to say, was the Dalton deal reassurance? Like, did you need reassurance that you can still play, kind of thing? That was the follow-up, right? So whatever the pep talk type of reassurance type of brothers checking on brothers, iron sharpening iron conversation that Dalton Schultz had with the quarterback. Again, another occurrence with the team meetings that just kind of makes you double take. And then D'Amico Ryans, and by the way, love the tone of D'Amico Ryans in the audio.
There's something you like?
I can just tell he ain't it can be fixed. He ain't in a it can be fixed spot, right? He's not in a no big deal, long season, one game at a time spot. I mean, his tone is totally different. He is in a we got to fix some stuff, and I almost cussed right there. We got to fix some stuff type of spot for D'Amico, and that's all that I ask. Everybody out there that listens, and what do you want him to say? That's what I want to tell in his tone. I don't care if he really give a damn what he says. I want to tell in his tone later in the week that he's still pissed about the way his team played and lost that football game on Sunday night. And I could hear that today. So, but here's D'Amico Ryans talking about finishing up his remarks to the media today when he was asked about C.J. Stroud.
I like to see C.J. just go out and cut it loose, right? You know, a lot has been probably said about the miscues of what C.J. has done. But C.J. has done a lot of great things for our team throughout this entire year. Full, complete trust in C.J. Let him go out and rip it. Cut it loose, play fast, play fun, man. C.J. is why we are where we are right now, right? We're sitting in a really good spot because of him, and he's an exceptional talent. I love working with C.J. I love his mindset, and I'm looking for him to come out and attack this game.
That was totally different than the tone I just got through explaining, by the way. That he went into father mode. He went into, hey, let me talk to CJ through the media real quick mode. And I haven't
show heard. I got total confidence in you.
Yeah. No. Well, I'll tell you this, Ron. The one after I fumbled that ball in Tennessee, we were 8-0. I fumbled the ball in Tennessee. You know what the most common thing people told me? Hey, Clint, man, we wouldn't have been 8-0 if it wasn't for you. We wouldn't be where we were if it wasn't for
you.
We wouldn't be as good. We wouldn't be a top 10 football team if it wasn't for you. I mean, they were trying to reassure that my mind was right and I was in a good spot and I wasn't going to go off the deep end when they were saying that is my point. Like, and then Bobby Slowick spoke, and Bobby, I haven't heard the audio, but I read some of it. You know, Bobby kind of reiterated how great CJ's playing, and CJ's doing great, and CJ just needs to keep doing what he's doing. It just seems like, and tell me, Ron, if I'm doing too much, because I'm just kind of laying it out for the people of kind of what shifted my mind. On the way to work today, I heard some of this stuff, and my mind just shifted to a point of, wait a minute, forget losing three of your last four. Forget being 6-4. Forget what this offense does in the second half and can they protect it. Like, forget all that. Like, are we really at a spot with this football team after what they accomplished last year and being 6-4 right now? Are we really at a spot where everybody seems to be reassuring and checking on C.J. Stroud? And I'm not saying they shouldn't, by the way. If they are in that spot, that's great. What they're saying and what they're doing, I'm cool with the approach. I just never thought after the success that CJ's had, and he's played well enough, obviously, to win six games this year, that I would never thought after 10 games I'd be getting the feeling of like, man, it seems like folks are kind of checking in on CJ.
Yeah, I don't know if I really put it all together until, like, I heard him talk about the Dalton Schultz part of it, that and him express, boy, I needed that. You know, that was an interesting part. When he said, with Dalton Schultz, when Dalton Schultz giving him some encouragement and letting him know to remember who he was, like, in a weird way, something that you never thought you would see. It that point made me think, was CJ losing some confidence? If he's, as he said, he needed Dalton Schultz, and then to hear Bobby Slowick today doing it some more, and to hear D'Amico, you know, pushing and praising, and then to hear himself, when you've heard CJ talk, not just this week or the last week, it's been a bit of like, hey, I got to get back to being myself.
Yeah, yeah.
I got to get back to playing. I got to rip it. I got to do it. I got to go back to where I was at Columbus at Ohio State. It feels like all of that combined together says there's been a point to try to boost his confidence, which you didn't really see coming.
Yeah, I thought, and I've been more critical, and it. I mean, I take it more serious than most fans do. I mean, I get plumb ass pissed off at what they, you know, Bobby Slowick being so bullheaded and not changing what they were doing. I know a lot of people out there want them to do more, want them to expand the playbook, and want them to take more chances, and want them to run the football. I'm asking them to do less, you know, for 9 weeks, and you know, I get downright pissed off about it, but I never thought that I would ever get the vibe that CJ is in any level of doubt or losing, you know, confidence in what he after what he did last year and what he's how damn good he is at the highest level. I just didn't think, and so that leads me to a spot, Ron. That leads me to this spot, right? Is And we may talk about this later on, so you tell me where you want to go with it. But if everything I just said, if anybody out there feels the same way that I feel, like I'm not real sure where I'm at with it, but I'm keeping an eye on it. This game is a lot bigger than I thought it was.
Yeah, like we we've kind of talked about it, but I don't know if we understood the severity of how much it was meant for him, right? Like, we've talked about, as you said in your way of, like, hey, Gerard Johnson's the number one important
most
person
important
in the room.
Now I double down.
Right, and I've said, like, off of that, a big reason of that is to make sure to get him right. Make sure to get him back to being the guy that many people thought could be a top five quarterback. But I'm not sure if we thought that we had any kind of belief or inkling that he didn't think he was that anymore.
Correct. Yeah,
and you know, not and still, this is speculation. Not to say that he's not saying that he's saying that, but when you put a lot of it together, that you know he needed that reassurance from Dalton Schultz, as he said, and we see like clockwork. Like you heard me talk about this, like in you know in politics and in this, you can see teams have talking points, and it does feel like a talking point is to talk about how much and how great C.J. Stroud is and why they wouldn't be in this position without him. And it does seem like that is a talking point that is happening right now.
Yeah, it's I thought we dodged the bullet of rookie quarterback, like super young. Like, we're watching what Caleb Williams and Bryce Young and, you know, these guys that have been, you got to worry about, man, are they getting ruined by what they're going through? Like, not that CJ's getting ruined, but like, I just thought we completely avoided the conversations about CJ's inexperience and his youth in the league because he just fast-tracked it all so good last year and jumped ahead of the curve. It was like, hell, well, those are you avoided all that crap all these other guys typically go through, and boy, you're way up here. We've seen it.
We saw it with Jalen, kind of. Last year, Jalen Hurts, and we saw it.
Right. But here's the deal. It's like if the Texans would have started 2-4, I would understand it.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, you start 6-4, and let's be honest, this didn't just start at 6-4. I mean, the player only meeting started at 6-2, I think, or 6-3. So I don't know. It's just I'm a little uneasy with what I hear coming out of there, because I just didn't think – I don't think they should be there right now. Again, CJ's done some things that I would consider regression and backslide, but nothing that you would think – he needs a pep talk. I mean, I don't know.
They are there every day.
Yeah. Yeah, no, yeah, right.
There's
right.
A confidence drop, right. Because that's what it sounds like.
Well, this is a monster game. Me.
This is. All right, coming up, last night, you know, what we saw from the Eagles and the Commanders, I think there is something that potentially is coming out of that the NFL definitely needs to change in. We'll discuss that coming up next.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from East River 9, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Welcome back in as we are live here on a Football Friday here at East River 9 here in downtown. Come on down, hang out, have a good time. Let's get some good drinks, some food. They've got it all. And you can win prizes coming up after this segment. If you're just walking into the building, if you want to sign your name, put it in our raffle box. We're going to hook somebody up with – this is what we're going to do. We're going to hook somebody up with two of them right here. You can play a round of golf right here at East River 9, a free round of golf. That's coming up. It's all you got to do. As soon as the segment ends, all you got to do is sign your name, put it in the raffle box, and you'll be our next winner right here. All right, I'm watching this game last night, Clint. I'm watching Thursday Night Football, and – I know that this has become a quarterback award, and it is really annoying to me. I don't know how Saquon Barkley is not seriously in the MVP conversation. I think it's been Lamar and Josh Allen, and listen, you know which team that I pull for, but I feel like people have Patrick Mahomes in above a Saquon Barkley, and that's ridiculous. Saquon Barkley, who leads the league in yards from scrimmage, and now he leads the league in rushing after last night's performance. And the Eagles, and I said it yesterday, I believe it, I think the Eagles, to me, are the team that I would take out of the NFC right now, even though their coach is weird. But I really like – and the biggest change to me is, yes, their defense has gotten better, but the biggest change to me is him. He has absolutely changed this whole team, and – I think he should be, to me, if I were voting for the MVP, and I just think about the most valuable pieces or whatever, what they have done this year to their teams, he would at the very least be second to me behind Lamar Jackson. And I understand the quarterbacks and the value, but what he has done this year and what he has meant for this team, a team that just fell apart last year, and to me, the biggest change, I think Saquon Barkley should have real conversation about being the MVP. He has been ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't know how he's not. I don't know how it's not a you know. I agree with you. I'm on record. Lamar Jackson should be the MVP damn near every year.
I think there's probably like four quarterbacks that people probably put ahead of him.
Yeah, I can't do it. I can't do it. I don't. Look, I'm a Jalen Hurts fan, but if you know Jalen Hurts is not a guy, whether he's running the ball or throwing the ball, that's going to carry that football team by himself. Now you know you give him a running back that can run it and you know you get a good. I've said this multiple times, like in the right offense, which he's in that offense where there's a healthy balance of run and pass. The way that he contributes in the run, the way he controls it, the way he leads, he's a different animal now. Not minimizing what Jalen Hurts does at all, but it's just not on the same level of Lamar Jackson from a production standpoint. Lamar Jackson is second in the league in passing, and I think he's got damn near 600 yards rushing. So, I mean, it's a different animal when we're talking about Lamar Jackson. Look, for me right now, I'm with you. I would go Lamar Jackson, and I would go Saquon Barkley right behind him.
Yeah, I just like people have had, like I've seen like the kind of the betting odds and Jared Goff they have ahead of him.
I'm not downplaying Jared Goff just based off last week's five interceptions, but I do believe that he made enough room last night for a guy like Saquon Barkley to get.
Yeah, past. I mean he's and I'm not trying to take away like Jared Goff and how good Jared Goff has been, but like this thing has been so much so just a quarterback award. Like, Adrian Peterson had to rush for 2,000 yards in 2012, and that was the last time a non-quarterback won it.
Who was his quarterback when he did that? Do you remember?
Oh, God. God,
that's the point, though.
Who was the quarterback?
I don't know, but that's my point. Is, like,
is that a Christian Ponder?
I was going to say Christian Ponder's the only one that I know, but my point in saying that is that clearly he was... That was a one-horse show is what I'm saying.
Who was the Minnesota Vikings quarterback in 2012? It had that Christian Ponder. Christian Ponder didn't play any playoff games. It couldn't have been. It's got to be somebody else. Like we're that's post Culpepper. Clearly,
I was going to say Brad.
That's
post
Brett Favre, isn't it? Was it Brett? Who was the quarterback in 2012 for the Minnesota Vikings? That is a great question. Of it, like I don't like because for me, like Lamar and that's the thing is. I know Jalen Hurts, as you said, Jalen Hurts is a good football player. But, like, there's a deal of, like, all right, Lamar has Derrick Henry, man. There has got to be a big point of how much Derrick Henry affects Lamar Jackson and makes life so much more easier.
Sure,
and the same thing for Derrick with Lamar. I don't get the feel to me that Saquon Barkley gets that much of a benefit from Jalen Hurts and what he does the way
I agree
that Derrick Henry does from Lamar Jackson.
I agree wholeheartedly. It's hard to – no, it's not hard. I would say that Derrick Henry probably gains more in his relationship with Lamar Jackson. Gains more. Gets more out of the deal. And I would say that – Jalen Hurts gets more out of the deal. You see, like the lead horse is definitely the other guy.
Yeah, yeah. To me, yeah. God, who was the quarterback of that damn? Was it Teddy Bridgewater? Is that what someone's texting in? No way, no way. With the Teddy Bridgewater, that's
I ain't got it.
He's not that old.
I could have found it by now if I was looking for it.
But anyway, man, that's ridiculous. There was a run there. Like, what was Sean, who was the running back? He went to Alabama.
Alexander.
Sean Alexander. He won an MVP in Seattle one year. So, to me, we got to get back to a place where, like,
Christian
that. And
his
Christian Ponder. How in the hell did that happen? But I guess Saquon's got to rush for 2,000 yards to have a chance to win the league MVP, which is crazy to me. They've just got to quit positioning that award as just a straight up quarterback award, because to me a guy like Saquon Barkley is just as valuable. And I see people texting in. We found it. It was Ponder. We did find it. It was Ponder. It's just wild as hell to me.
God, how about this? 2011 Christian Ponder, Donovan McNabb. I forgot Donovan played.
Oh my God! Did he?
2012 Christian Ponder got all the starts. 2013 Christian Ponder, Matt Castle, Josh Freeman.
They had a Matt Castle. Oh, I forgot about Josh Freeman, K-State.
Well, they brought everybody in there and tried to compete with Christian Ponder. The next year, Christian Ponder had Teddy Bridgewater and Matt Castle again. Wow.
And
they've been through some quarterbacks.
He had Samantha that whole time, didn't he? Good for him. All right. Coming up as we continue here live here at East River 9, we're going to hook somebody up with a pair of you and a partner. Go out here and play a round of golf for two.
This right here at East River 9.
This sunlight is really, I mean, this is really getting me right here that it's coming through. I cannot even see right now. But we'll be hooking somebody up with that. If you hurry up, you want to sign your name and put it in here so you can have a chance to pull your name out of that raffle. There you go. All right, coming up. Have we been looking at this Lions game all wrong the whole time? Have we been looking at this the wrong way? Maybe there is another way to look at it. We'll discuss that coming up next.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from East River 9, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Shout out to our latest renter, Tony, who wins a round of golf. He and a buddy will play a round of golf right here. I think he's already played one round, so why not grab another nine? So he'll get him a full 18 out here today. So congratulations to him. We do have another round to hook somebody up with as well. So that is the latest there. And I think we have another $25 Academy Sports and Outdoors gift card as well. We will be hooking people up with here until we get done at 6 o'clock. So come on out. You got to sign your name, put it in our raffle box to have a chance to win. So if you're on your way, you might want to do that. If you're in the building and you have not done so, you might as well, as a good time is being had out here as always here at East River 9, one of the real great gyms here in Houston. So come hang out. All right, Clint, I've been thinking about this, and I've been listening to people. I've listened around the country about different things and about different ways that they believe their teams have gotten, you know, some confidence. And I'm wondering from you and the people, 713-572-4610, you can chime in on this. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch as well, you can chime in on this. I'm curious, do you think maybe we have been looking at that Lions loss maybe the wrong way? Have we been looking at it the wrong way? Because I think many people have looked at it as like, oh my God, look at this. It's a down thing. And I know, and understandably, and I know you said it, and I think, you know, many people felt it. I think I probably said it. Tyler may have said it, that this team is just not ready for prime time, not ready maybe for the top levels of the league. But do you think that potentially they looked at that game and gained a high level of confidence, Clint? And the listeners out there, do you think they gained a high level of confidence? Because they played with, Clint, you've said it. You said it going into the game. You said it after the game, that the Detroit Lions, that's the best team in football. And they dominated that first half, dominated a lot of parts of that game. Their defense went out and just shut them down without Will Anderson Jr. and other pieces. Their offense went up and put enough points and should have put up 30-plus points in that game without Nico Collins, without Stephon Diggs, with a new offensive line, with their new center and guard for the first time. Is there a thought that maybe they're taking a ton of confidence? I guess the analogy that I would use is, I remember the New York Giants when they won that Super Bowl eventually, when they stopped that 17-0 streak. They played the Patriots in the regular season and lost, but they played with them so well that I remember Strahan and all of them were saying they knew at that point that they could get anybody. If they could play with them, they could get anybody. And I'm wondering if the Texans are getting some of that from this performance against the Lions.
They should.
Yeah.
I mean, once you get beyond the your heart getting ripped out of your chest
the way it did,
and once you get beyond the fact that it was three of the last four, and that loss is compiled on, you know, with several others, once you get beyond all that and you just look at the Detroit game in a vacuum, absolutely, you played with the best team in football. And on top of that, the adjustments that your offensive coordinator made, which he's not getting credit for, which everybody wants to fire the guy because of it, the adjustments that he actually made schematically allowed your quarterback to not get the hell beat out of him and allowed you to capitalize on turnovers and allowed you to have a lead that you pissed off that you lost late in the ball game. And so, yeah, just the simple fact that you played with them, absolutely. They should take. You know,
I mean, it was more than played with them. Hell, I mean, you
should have beat them.
Yeah,
right.
You're in control.
And then you take and you there's tangible plays that should have been made and are typically made that weren't that would have changed. It's not like you can say, well, if we'd only made three or four more plays. No, if you'd have just if CJ would have just made that throw. And I'm not harping on it, not piling on. Just the reality of it is, it's easy to look at that and go, boy, that everything was there except we just literally didn't finish that drive. And so, yeah, Ron, I think there's even more than just we played with them. I think it's fair to say that,
because you got to feel like if you're the Texans, you did, like, it was you.
Absolutely.
Like, you let
and
them
again,
back
I want to reiterate it, if the adjustments that were made offensively, schematically, that gave you the chance to play with that best team in football were absolutely tremendous. Bet this, if they'd have went back out there and they'd have continued to call plays the way they were calling plays, that game would have been lopsided in the first half. Well, maybe not, because he turned it over three damn times. But it would have been a 6-7 ball game instead of a 23-6 or whatever, 23-whatever it was. Yeah, absolutely. They should take a ton of confidence from that. And
I wonder, are they? Like, I wonder.
It's
if,
tough.
Because of the way it happened.
Well, it's tough because it's three or four. Because yeah. You can't just.
It's hard.
It's one of three, and it's all of it's tough to stomach. But, I would. Boy, if they are not taking a lot from the fact that they were able to turn over that team five times, and they were able to be right there in that thing in the fourth quarter and have it a one-score game, it'll be a missed opportunity. Absolutely, they should.
From the text line coming through, heck yes, I have confidence in the Texans going toe-to-toe with the best. They took the Lions to the brink. The offense sputtered, but the defense kept them in it. Y'all are full of it. They gave us five turnovers, and we still lost. There's a thought of that, like, you know, you took five turnovers. Like, I'm not... Like, to me, that's a part of it. You made the plays. You made, like, you caused those turnovers. And, yes, you shouldn't lose that game. And I get your point from that, but I don't think they just gave you turnovers. I just.
Yeah, see, that texture there is in a spot where it was just like where I just refused, and I think you agreed with me a couple of weeks ago when I came to the table. I was like, man, I can't doubt the defense anymore. Like, Ron,
whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I can't tell you. I don't know why they keep attacking Derek Stingley instead of Kamari Lassiter. I have no idea.
Yeah.
Right. I can't. But, like, we can't sit here and keep talking about, well, they turned over Jared Goff five times, so Jared Goff tried to give it to us. Well, they turned over Jordan Love three times, and Jordan Love tried to give it to us. At some point in time, you just got to say, hey, man, what D'Amico's calling defensively is causing major problems, and it's allowing the defense to create turnovers in an impressive way, and more importantly, against really good football teams.
Yeah, I don't know if it is, because the way that they're coming out, especially where they're talking about CJ and stuff and trying to boost things up.
Sure.
I don't know if they took it that way, but it's just hard to get from the point of everything that happened and all this stuff that people are talking about is, like, you're sitting there with 9:05 left staring 30-13 in the face. Like that, we're not just talking about, oh, like, you had them on the brink. No, 30-13 in the face, right? Like, and you were controlling that. the whole way. And it, like that, like so that is hard that it got to from staring 30-13 in the face to now like just a devastating loss, and you wonder like you had to do the things to get to that point. And yes, the Texans shot themselves in the foot, but there is a thought of like they can gain. I mean, they got to at some point come out of that thinking, well, we can play with anybody. Like we can play with anybody, and I see this person who texted, and I get that. Yes, you know, they haven't scored in the second half, and it touchdowns in the second half. No, they shouldn't feel good about themselves. But even with it all that, we all know if you watch that second half, there were multiple points where they should have scored and could have scored, and they kind of shot themselves in the foot that prevented them from not being able to score. So I don't know. I just think that there is something to take from, and I wonder if they are. There's something to take from, yo, not only did we play toe-to-toe, not only did we have them on the brink, like we were in a place, honestly, if we didn't do things ourselves and our best players ourselves without arguably our best offensive player on the field and arguably our best defensive player on the field to running the Lions out of the building.
Well,
there's got to be something to
you legitimately can look at this game and say, if we just get out of our own way offensively, we win this sucker. And there's something powerful about that. When Detroit's on the other side of the field. So, yeah, look, I hope they are. I hope they have taken something from it. I really hope they have, but they're not showing their positivity, because I love the tone of D'Amico Ryans to the media yesterday. And so I hope behind closed doors they're taking some positives from it. I hope, to your point, I hope D'Amico Ryans paused the film when that ball was in the air that ended up getting picked off and said, guys, if this – And look, hey, CJ, I'm not highlighting this because it was a negative for you, so put your thick skin on.
This is where we were.
Put your thick skin on. But right here, if this ball is caught for a touchdown, we're up 30-13 on the Detroit Lions. Take that right there, put it in your pipe and smoke it, and realize that's how good a football team you can be.
With Will Anderson and Nico Collins on the sideline.
Yes, no Steph Diggs. Yeah,
Steph Diggs.
So let that sink in. Yeah, I think there's a lot to be gained there, man. There's a lot to be learned there. There's a lot of confidence to gain there. But boy, it's tough to overshadow 3 or 4.
No, yeah, and that's it. That part is probably the part that leans into it. Is there may be a little bit of a damn what is happening? We're finding ways to lose some of these games, but at some point, to me, like if they run off the next three games, which I think they should, against the Cowboys, Titans, and Jags. Yeah. That may start to come through. Like, I think they walk into the games against Baltimore and Kansas City and maybe feel a little different because of what they did against the Lions. Like, so, there could be some positive coming through. And I can admit, maybe I would say I was looking at it wrong to start things off.
No, that doesn't make me feel one bit wrong about the way I was looking at that damn thing. I'm pissed. But you got a good point, is all I'm saying.
All right. Coming up, we'll get you caught up on the injury report. There are three important pieces it is not looking great for with the Texans, but there is some good news as well coming for that. We'll let you know the latest of that, as well as, the Astros, some good postseason awards as well. We'll give you the latest on that as we continue to roll here. A little 5 o'clock fire coming up next.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.